Turn with me your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. I believe Acts chapter 6 parallels some of what's going on today. To set the stage, we know that the book of Acts is about the first century church, about the first disciples. And Jesus appeared to them in chapter 1 and said, "Wait for the power from on high. You'll be witnesses." And on the day of Pentecost, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came on the believers and released power. Of course, they received supernatural prayer language, which we have a right to receive today, right? But make sure when you get it, you use it. I have tools in my garage. Some of you are probably aware of that. And I try to find tools I'm going to use. I don't get them just to hang on the wall and look at it. I get them to use. And so many believers will get filled with the Spirit of God and say, "Yeah, I got baptized in the Spirit, you know, in 79. But it's still hanging on the wall. They're not using it. To pray in tongues is potentially the most powerful tool you use.
Yeah.
To release the power of God in these end times.
Yes.
Pray in tongues every opportunity that you can. You're praying the perfect will of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And God moves through prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer actually releases God to move on our behalf because He gave the earth to man. Man has to give God access to move. I know this sounds foreign to a lot of people. Well, God does what He wants to. No, He doesn't. Well, He does do what He wants to. He doesn't do everything. Everything that happens isn't God. And God said, "If you'll pray, I'll move." In fact, Jesus told the disciples, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Prayer is releasing permission for God to move in our lives.
Yeah.
To move in our midst on the earth. And praying in tongues is God speaking through us saying, "Here's what I want to do." Did you follow me? I mean, you may have plans for your life, plans for what you want to do, but you go to praying in tongues and you're saying, "God, here's what I really want to do." You don't even know what you're saying. But your spirit's speaking. The Holy Spirit's speaking through your spirit. And it's saying, "Here's the plans I need you to pray in place." And God, through praying in the Spirit, totally shifts the platform, the direction of your life. Make time for it. Not just that. Before you get in the Word, pray in tongues. Before you pray, pray in tongues some first. Because you'll go to pray and God will start giving the interpretations of what you just prayed out in mystery form. Amen. And so in Acts 2, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they start to see immediate increase in the church. 3,000 saved in a day. How many think that would be fun in Georgetown?
Yeah.
I'm ready. Praise God. Well, I want to be ready.
Yeah.
8,000 people within the end of a week. 8,000 people saved out of 120. That's increase. That is accelerated evangelism. God is about to do the same thing today. You follow me? He's about to accelerate evangelism. And I believe Charlie Kirk's assassination. See, there may have not been a more effective evangelist on earth today than Charlie Kirk. As far as getting to people that don't want to hear. I mean, wanted to debate him and all of a sudden they're getting saved. Making major change on the college campuses, and I believe greatly attributable to his ministry. We're seeing revival hit college campuses now. Thousands being saved. UK, UT, colleges across the nation having major moves of God. Thank you, Jesus. Accelerated, amplified evangelism. And I've done a lot of street ministry. It's really where I started out way back, street ministry. In fact, Sean and I did some street ministry together. At least he was involved in it. And he used to hand out tracts all day. I mean, you can hand them out and you see them scattered everywhere. We go downtown Lexington, there's tracks scattered everywhere where people took them, threw it down, or whatever. I just picked up, give it somebody else. And you might lead somebody to the Lord now and then. And I forget the year. It was pre-1992, probably about 90 or 91. God took me out to look in Lexington. Wait, let me back up a second. No, it was post-92. I was already teaching. Right, 91. I'm sorry. I was teaching on love. And when I was street witnessing with my tracks already, Friday night, downtown Triangle Park, people everywhere, and the power of God's love hit me. I mean, it hit me that I loved everybody. I mean, a supernatural love. It wasn't just, oh, I appreciate you or empathize with you. I loved them. It was God on me. God was saying, what you've been teaching, here's a taste of it. And in 45 minutes, I led five people to Jesus, and everybody I spoke to wanted to hear what I had to say. Except religious people.
Right.
Religious people didn't want to hear. The unbelievers did. And God said, listen to me, in the end times, you've been going out evangelizing with a hook and a line. But in the end times, I'm going to have you evangelize with a net. He took me to the scriptures where Jesus said, let down the net. And he took in so many fish, the boats began to sink. At the end of his ministry, end of his time on earth, they went fishing again. He said, let down your net on the other side. Let it out again, and they brought 153 fish of every kind. That's mass evangelism with nets. And God is about to anoint us with some love that we're going to start witnessing to people. It's going to be automatic, they get saved. And we're going to see Book of Acts type results. You know, 3,000 people saved in a week to 120. That's less than 30 people saved in a week. That's 8,000. It's 8,000. About 80 people saved in a week by each person. You can do that. No, I can't. Yes, you can. If the power of God's love hits you, you can get to 80 people in a week easy. And they'll get to other people. What I'm trying to bring forth is God's about to release anointings on us and on the church, the alive church, that are going to bring in a harvest we can't imagine. And we got to believe for it. And so to see these major harvests come in, we're seeing it happen now on campuses. I believe when they killed Charlie Kirk, God's about to amplify in on it on his life and spread it. And it'll be a birthing of some of this end time move. Let me volunteer to carry some of that anointing. Well, I don't know what he knows. I can't debate like he debates. No, but you have experience, you have testimonies, and you have knowledge of God. Start talking and watch God fill your mouth. He'll do it. Invite him to church. And so, in the book of Acts, these people are being saved. They're seeing major, major harvest come in. If we look at chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. That would be those around that are Gentile birth, grumbling against the Hebrews, saying because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve and serve tables. So the disciples, they're being overwhelmed by complaints. Moses had the same experience. Everybody was coming to him. And his father-in-law came and said, you need to appoint people to do this daily judging. Well, they're being overwhelmed by the needs to distribute goods to all the people in need. I'm sure answer all the questions. And they had a revelation. We shouldn't be doing this. We're not called to do all the work of the ministry. We're called to release the word of the ministry. Amen. And so they knew they needed to find people that could step in and step up to carry some of the weight of accelerated explosive growth. You follow me? And so, verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men. They got the word seven. Of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And saying, please the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas. I'm sure they hate the way I'm pronouncing their names. And Nicholas, who ended up being a flake, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, not added, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So they're seeing the city transformed by this gospel. So the disciples say, we need to dedicate ourselves to the word of God and to prayer. And in ministry, that's so important that you stay filled with the things of the kingdom. Filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. And you pray God's plans in place. I don't want to have another church in Georgetown. I want to have a kingdom facility in Georgetown.
Amen.
Amen. I see, I feel the anointing still in you now. You may notice the difference beside me. Thank you, Jesus. Show me the divinity out of this. I want a place where people can come to get free.
Yes.
But they flock in because they know God's there. They're going to get an impartation.
Yes.
A deliverance.
Yes.
Direction. Thank you, Jesus. We've seen places like that in the past with Toronto and Brownsville. Is it Lake something in Florida?
Lakeland.
Couldn't think of the name for a second. Many places where there's like touchdown places of the glory of God. At least some piece of it. And God's called us to bring the glory to Georgetown.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be great increase come out of it.
Yeah.
But just like right now, it's not going to go unopposed.
Right.
I'm wondering if there's not something rising up because of the message God wants to bring out this morning. God's called us to be supernatural people and to bring the glory to this area.
Yes.
To see great increase, and we can't think small.
Right.
Are you following?
Yeah.
But it will take all hands on deck. And so they found seven men full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And let's pick it up in verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, that's the word, dunamis, creative power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He's doing what he's called to do. Now listen, he was called to be a server. These seven men were appointed to be servers, to meet the needs of the demands of the people, you know, to facilitate distribution of goods and whatever else. Yet he's out there seeing the power of God come on him. When you're faithful in one area, God anoints you to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yes.
Do what God showed you. Wait for the anointing. And I can have people right now give testimonies how you've been stepping out and God's been showing up.
Yep.
I know Peggy's been having it happen. Casey's been having it happen. Several of you. That you just step out and witness, and there's God giving you the wisdom and the utterance and even the power to pray for people. So Stephen's seeing it happen. Verse 9. Then. See the word then?
Amen.
Then there arose certain of the synagogue. When the power of God is manifesting, Satan has to do everything he can to try to shut it down.
Yes.
The then ties us to what's about to happen, to what God was doing. Amen. See, God was moving. He's bringing revival. He's bringing increase. The church is about to explode worldwide. But the devil couldn't let it happen without challenging it. So he put in a then. And then there arose, look at this, certain of the synagogue. These are religious leaders. Which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. In other words, it wasn't just Jews, it was other people disputing with him, debating. But Charlie Kirk, I mean Stephen, was able to answer their challenges. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
They're trying to shut it down at the place of one of the main spokesmen. And when they were, verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That describes Reverend Kirk to a T.
Yes.
Don't know if he was a reverend or not, but he was. That describes him.
Yeah.
If you watched his debates, he'd answer with the wisdom of God and wisdom of the Word, and they had no answers. And he was being effective and in demand and going nationwide, sharing the gospel. And when I say sharing the gospel, we know he was a conservative speaker. So he spoke about things regarding homosexuality, trans lifestyle, abortion, even the invasion of this nation by illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. And he spoke to these things, but he did it with a biblical platform to explain his foundation.
Yeah.
And because it's biblically based, they weren't able to refute what he said. Mm-hmm. And all they could do instead was just hate what he said.
Yeah.
People, when they're faced with the truth, I can point to several of you about this. Frosty's one of them. When they're faced with the truth and they hear it, have a choice to make.
Yes.
Will you align your life with the truth?
Yeah.
Or will you fight against the truth?
Yeah.
Do you follow me? But to fight against the truth means you have to adopt a lie. You have to lie against the truth,
yes.
Scripture says. And we're seeing that now. Our politicians, some church leaders, so-called church leaders, the media, schools, leaders across the nation are telling outright lies. Some may believe they're lies, but they're telling outright lies because they cannot deal with the truth as it's been presented to them. And when this happens, because people don't like to lose. When you can't win on the foundation of ideas and open discussion, you got to kill the messenger. That's what it is. That's the only option I have. At the Bible study Wednesday night, I didn't get to stay very long because I had a call from Africa. But we brought out that we, when we're faced with challenges and overwhelming, how can I say, opposition, when we have people rise up against us, we just turn it over to God. We cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us, right? We say, God, I know You got it. God, I know You got my back. God, I know no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. Me and You are going to be together.
Amen.
Right, for eternity.
Yeah.
We're able to connect to the God of all love and all power.
Yes.
And be liberated from the frustration and the pressure, the challenges, because of our connection to God. But the wicked don't have a connection. There's no place to cast their cares to. There's no God they're trusting. least not the God they're trusting. Some are trusting in demonic gods. There's no all high, you know, there's no Yahweh they're trusting in. So what they have to do is they have to resolve their own issues. Because they can't carry that pressure and that frustration. How can I say, continually, so they have to sound off on social media or whatever it might be. And it results in, because there's no place to transfer that to, a spirit of murder arises. Kill that which is causing you the frustration. First, just deal with it. We can deal with things. People can, you know, badmouth me, try to hurt me, try to oppose me. But I can just say, God, me and you, right? And you got this. And go on.
Yes.
The wicked don't have that option. Do you remember the old locomotives that used to run across the nation back in the 1800s? They ran on steam.
Mm-hmm.
You had the coal or wood boiler, and you'd see it in the movies blowing out the black smoke and everything. And the way that steam engine works is there's a tank of water that they're heating really hot. The water's turning to steam inside the tank, and that steam drives the engine. The problem is with steam is if you keep heating a vessel full of steam and there's nothing to let off the pressure,
yeah,
it explodes.
Yeah.
So when you hear the ooh, ooh, that's the engineer who's not just somebody who steers a train, kind of steers yourself, right? He's looking at gauges at all times. I got to control the steam level, steam pressure can't get too high, I got to have enough water in it, you know what? He's looking at all these things. Because if the pressure gets too high, it'll blow up the entire engine. And it's happened many times over the years. They've blown up steam boilers in buildings or whatever it might be. And people get killed. Even on your hot water heater. We all have a hot water heater at home, right? That hot water heater has on it a pressure relief valve right on top. That if the pressure in the tank gets too high, it'll pop that valve and blow water and steam out. You follow me? God designed us with Him as our pressure relief valve. Whatever you're going through, just turn it over to God. He's got your back. Speak the word, trust in the word. Again, I had a call the other day, somebody saying they're going through some financial challenges out of the country. I said, trust in your seed. Sow the seed and rest in your seed. Well, that's pressure relief. We need a facility. Let me restate that. We have a facility. We need it in manifestation.
Yes.
Right? But you know, I'm not walking around fretting all day. Well, when are we going to get our building? Where's our building come from? How are we going to pay for it? We've got seed in the ground. I just sowed a whole bunch of seed here a week or so ago. Out of the church. No, that's where we've been continually sowing. And I'm standing on the power of seed. Not just financial, but what we've done. What we do with our opportunities. We're standing on that. And that becomes our pressure relief valve. But the wicked don't have that available. In fact, you want to know what the pressure relief valve is for the wicked?
Yeah.
Alcohol?
Drugs.
Pharmaceuticals? Or homemade pharmaceuticals?
Violence.
Pornography? Shopping? Eating? We could go on. Something, try to get the pressure off. A lot of people are, what's the right word? Stress eaters. Under stress they eat or they shop, or some people have cussing fits. Problem is you can only eat so much, shop so much, and it doesn't It doesn't go take the source of pressure away, just kind of release it for a moment. Even the drinking and the drugs. And eventually you turn to want to kill whatever's causing the pressure. And if it's the doctrine of the gospel causing the pressure, they'll want to kill you. Family members can avoid you. Friends can avoid you. But when you have a national spokesman, the same things that of the truth you don't want to accept, there's a desire to kill the messenger. Back to Acts. Verse 11. Look at this. I just want you to see how this parallels right now. Then they suborned men which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people. They always got to get to the people, right? That's what the media is trying to do now. Stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, he thinks all homosexuals should be stoned. Have you heard that story?
Yeah.
How many know who Stephen King is?
Yeah.
He put out that Charlie Kirk was advocating that homosexuals should be stoned. Something he never said. It's something the media said he never said.
Yeah, and I don't know a gay guy that heard that.
Yeah.
And he went off on me because I was saying something about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
He just took it. He heard that and he got really offended by it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because he's heard those lies.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't care how he confronts the truth as long as he can confront it. And if a lie helps that cause, he will do it. And people that don't want the truth will embrace the lies. They were coming out saying this was done by Trump.
Yeah.
I got a family member claiming it was a MAGA person that did this. Don't listen to any lies. They're going to try to tell you something else. It was a MAGA person. Why would a MAGA person kill his own messenger?
Right.
But lies, how can I say, designed to confront the truth or the messenger of truth. And so here they're right. You would think if you were a leader, you would have enough integrity internally to not want to hire liars. But they don't. And I believe the majority of our political leaders right now will embrace a lie that furthers their causes. So now we're hearing all these AOCs and others coming out saying he was stirring up hatred and all this other stuff. No, he's telling the truth. And the truth will stir up hatred in those that hate the truth. They're living contrary to it and don't want to change. I was talking about Frosty. You know, he came in here first. He was very skeptical, but he kept hearing it. And he transitioned his life to match the truth. Amen. And he brings us donuts today. That's evidence he heard God.
Frank's donuts.
Verse 13 again. And they set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemies and words against this holy place and the law." Charlie Kirk was probably lying about as much as anybody ever. And it's still happening, and they're still quoting it at high levels. People are quoting stuff that's not true. Yeah. So Stephen King came out and said, I didn't finish the story, said he advocates that homosexuals should be stoned. Well, he never said that. So the turning point of what rose up and said, this is not true. He was able to look into it and find that he had read it and believed it and never checked the source. And now he's repented. Problem is, the stores are pulling his books out left and right.
Yes.
People that were fans were saying, I'll never read another of his books. That mouthing a lie they heard somebody else say, but because it matches what you want to hear, you embrace it. So, verse number 14. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. There's some truth in that. Not that he would destroy it, but he did prophesy the destruction of Jerusalem. But he did. He prophesied that the religious systems were coming down as well. And how many know he changed the customs? But they're wording it in a fashion that we're here to cause anarchy in Jerusalem. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, look at this, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Here's the people judging him, hearing the arguments, and the glory comes upon him. Wouldn't that be a sign? Was it Bill Engel said, here's your sign? I would think if the glory came on somebody visibly, you might retract some of your accusations. But you know what? I think it stirs up the devils working behind the scenes to become even more murderously angry. Even more want to kill him. We can't have this man go forward any further sharing this word. Now, pause right here. I want to show you another verse here. Go to John chapter 11. Is this okay this morning?
Yes.
Again, I want you to see how it parallels right now. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. The devil doesn't change his strategies. Pretty much just kill, kill, kill. Lie, lie, lie. John chapter 11, are you there? Now, John chapter 11, if you got headings over your Bible, is about the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus. Dead for 4 days. Jesus delays coming to resurrect him until it looks way past time. He's buried, wrapped up, and the stone's put in front of him for 4 days. And he shows up and he raises him from the dead. Are you with me? Let's look at verse number 43. And when Jesus thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm just wondering, because when I think about this, when I picture it, I see the mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all wrapped up.
Yeah.
Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They saw the miracles, they believed. But some of them who had a different spirit went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, stop right there. This is just me. This is me. I'm thinking if somebody came to me and said, yeah, this guy just raised somebody from the dead, they were dead 4 days, I'd want to go see and celebrate it. Do you follow me? And find, how did he do it?
Yeah.
You know, by what name, by what power was he able to do this? What was the steps he took? In fact, I've studied people that raised people from the dead for years to find out what did they speak? How did they go about it? You follow me? Because I wanted to be able to do that at the right time.
Yeah.
But these, hearing of a miracle that was undeniable, the death of Lazarus was witnessed by many, many people, as well as the resurrection. Undeniable miracle.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think the religious leader would say, we need to get this guy on our side?
Yes.
I mean, we need to follow him. Mercy him, follow us. We need to find out what's going on here.
That's
Because it wasn't his first miracle. He's doing them all along. But this is one that was above and beyond.
Yes.
Look at verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." They can't deny it. They're admitting he's doing miracles. That should be a sign God's on your side. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Instead of saying he's doing miracles, let's follow him, they're concerned about losing their position. If all people listen to Charlie Kirk, nobody's going to vote for Democrats anymore.
It's true.
And of course, the willingness to do whatever's necessary is why they cheated so heavily in the 2020 election. 15 million votes that came out of nowhere to steal an election. Not just one, but many elections. Whatever necessary. There's a saying that so matches what the wicked do in this nation
worldwide.
And that's the end justifies the means. What that means is here's what we want to do because we believe this is the right thing. We can do whatever we want to get there. And I've heard some of that regarding Islam. Christians believe you guard your integrity every step of the way to get to your end.
Yes.
The wicked believe we can kill, we can lie, we can cheat, we can steal, we can blaspheme, whatever, if it gets us where we want to go. You follow me?
Yes.
The problem is the hole the wicked are going down to, now they've exposed their hand in the last 4 years before this one, has got them going down such a pit into such a tube that if they were to change direction now and say, "Hey, we knew Charlie Kirk had it right. Hang it up for another Democrat being elected for hundreds of years." I mean, it would be that devastating. So they got to kill the message, which it doesn't matter if that includes the messenger. You follow me?
Yeah.
Let's read on down through here. I want you to see this further. So they're concerned about losing their political position, their influence, and of course there's money came with that. There's money flowing through this. According to Old Testament law, the people tithed to the priests and the priests tithed to the high priest. That position, the high priest, to receive 1% of the GDP of the entire nation. What's the GDP of America? $10 trillion? Something like it. It's trillions. If the GDP of America was $10 trillion, the high priest would get $1 trillion a year. He's a wealthy guy. And I may have some of the facts wrong, but this money's flowing up to him. They don't lose it. Don't lose his influence. And of course, they've got their own cronies saying on their own mountaintops that they have allowed to get there because they're willing to cheat and steal. Connive. So they're afraid of losing their system and their financial flow. Verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for them, that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not." Now, I won't read all the way through, but he was prophesying the crucifixion. He's high priest. He said, "It's best we kill the messenger, that the whole nation doesn't go conservative.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. And people will say, well, it was just one kind of flaky kid, young kid, flaky kid. He put on the bullets, fascist, transphobic, or whatever, all these different things that are just lip syncing with the lying leaders have been saying.
Yeah.
What they've been saying about Charlie Kirk. I've read this account a few times. Hopefully it makes sense to you. But I read that if you take a jar of red ants and a jar of black ants and put them together, they'll leave each other alone. But if you stir it a little bit, they go to all-out war. That's what's happening with our media, with our leaders. They're looking to stir to cause war. Do you follow me? We can be different and still get along.
Yes.
Do you follow me? I can disagree with people that are wrong. And get along with them.
Yeah.
But when they have no pressure relief valve, they've got to kill the source of their pressure. And so they said, we need to kill. Here's the one that's doing miracles. We need to kill the miracle worker.
Yeah.
Versus aligning our lives with the truth he's proclaiming. So again, back to Acts chapter 6. Y'all bear with me. Actually, Acts chapter 7 now. Verse 1, then said the high priest, are these things so? Sounds familiar. Here's the high priest again, right? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And Stephen goes into a sermon from Abraham all the way up to the crucifixion. And I've read this thing, I don't know how many times, I'm still trying to figure out what was the point. It was almost like he was doing a filibuster. And if I can speak long enough, maybe they'll calm down. But he goes all the way through these events from Abraham all the way up to the cross. And let's look at verse number 51. And then Stephen changes gears. The Holy Ghost on him has had enough. Because I believe it's by the anointing he's speaking. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. He's going through the history how the leaders of the past in Israel were always missing God repeatedly. He says, now you're the ones doing it. He says, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. He tells them to their face, you killed Jesus. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He gets caught up in a vision. That's why I said, I don't believe Charlie Kirk ever felt the bullet. I think God brought him out before that. I say that because I've spoken to people and I've read accounts where people that have died never felt it. All of a sudden they were just gone. They were out of the body.
Yeah.
Came back. Pastor Bob, when he died, he never felt it. He was just gone. When he came back, he said, I'm back. It says, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of God, or the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He's saying, I see Jesus. And they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And he stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen did. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin under their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. So they stoned him. I shared a verse online the other day where when confronted with this, the Pharisees said, the leader said, they intend to lay this blood on our heads. The same religious leaders who were hollering to the multitudes on Golgotha, crucify, crucify, who had brought in the false witnesses, who were stirring up the people to kill Jesus, later said, why are you blaming us? And now the media and the leaders are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to blame us for Charlie Kirk's death? It was some radical. The radical was listening to what you had to say. And your lies and your rhetoric, your inflated accusations, caused that man to believe those lies.
Yes.
And he killed Charlie Kirk. It's the exact same thing that happened with Stephen.
Yeah.
It has repeated itself again. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, I want to take the last few minutes that we have this morning to talk about what do we do. First of all, I want you to keep in mind what happened. Thousands and thousands of people are getting saved in Jerusalem. People are flocking in to hear this new doctrine. You follow me? But they're not going out. Not at any high level. But when the persecution hit, these believers scattered everywhere.
Here.
The result of the martyrdom of Stephen resulted in 64,000 new chapters. I mean, resulted in new witnesses going throughout the world. Did you follow what I'm talking about there?
Yeah.
What's the number up to? 60-something thousand.
It was 62,000 when I sent you the note yesterday.
62,000 as yesterday.
And it was 8,000 the day he was killed.
So we're talking about an eightfold increase, basically. Sevenfold increase of the turning point chapters nationwide that have now been started since his death. It's spreading. As I declared when he was shot, first shot, I said, let God raise up 20 million new Charlie Kirks. It's happening.
Yeah.
And it happened here.
Yeah.
And they went to places they could take the gospel of all the world. Now, I don't know about you. If you're like me, you spend quite a bit of time praying, pondering, what do? What should be our reaction? My immediate reaction I mentioned last week is just lock and load.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the flesh. You follow me?
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't God. Couldn't post anything for a few days to speak of except the one statement. Because I don't want the flesh speaking. I want it to be out of my spirit. And even today, what's to be our reaction? Here's what I know the scripture says. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We can't kill all the people that don't believe in Jesus. Otherwise, there's nobody to lead to the throne. God's about to bring his glory upon the earth. He's about to bring his glory in a fashion that God's going to harvest every person on earth that can even remotely want to get saved. He's going to harvest it. Get ready. He's going to use you to do it. What happened the day of Pentecost was baby steps compared to what he's about to do.
That's right.
But we can't fall for the trap of getting hateful and angry and refusing, you know, to walk in love, because it's the love that's going to be the harvest net that's going to bring in the harvest.
Yes.
So we've got to make sure we continue to walk in love. What if they keep this up? I believe God's increasing the anointing. That there's going to be fewer and fewer people oppose the gospel. Not just in this nation, but in the world.
Yeah.
Up until the rapture. God's bringing his presence in a manifested fashion in these end times. And those who still want to oppose it, I believe are going to go into obscurity. They'll be pushed out of the public eye. That even blue voting regions are going to turn red because of the gospel.
Yes.
And once out of power, Your voices will be, what's the word I want? Negligible. That won't matter. But we got to make sure we respond in love right now.
Yeah.
And call for love and confess love.
Yeah.
And we don't stop the path God's got us on, because it's the path God's got us on that is why they're rising up. What a great time to be on God's side.
Yes.